first floor. And all members of Sangha want to appreciate Dr. Houston Smith for his compassion of spending his own valuable time for us to guide to this way. We learned a lot from Professor Houston Smith, not only through his words, but behind the words. I have still three lectures to give you in December on karma. Particularly going to Dogen Zenji, the founder of Soto Zen. Pretty often I emphasize Dogen Zenji's way. Well, if you use the Dogen Zenji's way, you immediately say that is Soto tradition. If you use term Soto tradition, it is already a certain tradition opposed to other traditions. That is a problem, human problem. Without words, we can't communicate a true heart, but they communicate with each other. So we use the words, but if you use the words, immediately we fall into trap. So it's pretty hard. We have to know that. When I came to the United States, first time I stayed in Los Angeles and served Zenji temples. At that time, I lived with a young American boy who was very serious as a Buddhist. He could speak Japanese pretty well, and he studied Buddhism by himself. So he knew a lot about Buddhism. So someday one day I had a discussion with him about what the Buddhism. So I explained the Buddhism according to Dogen's way. Who doesn't want to touch to a certain idea of Buddhist teaching in terms of a certain school, Rinzai, Soto tradition, Rinzai or Soto tradition, or Tendai or Kegon, and their Lotus Sutra itself. So I always emphasized the broad scale of Buddhism Dogen tried to mention. But he didn't understand because I used the Dogen's teaching. So finally he asked, why, if you want to teach us, you know, general broad scale Buddhism, why did you use the Dogen's way? You already attached to Dogen's way. This is an important point, okay? So finally I said to him, Buddhist teaching is always aiming at original nature of human being which is constantly free, not belonging to a certain teaching, okay? Buddhist teaching or Christian teaching, Christianity, whatever it is, nothing, okay? Then finally all you have to do is, as Dogen then says, use again Dogen's way, what Dogen Zen says, to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self. So, wherever you may be, or whatever kind of religion you believe, whatever occupation you follow, or even though you don't believe anything at all, that's okay, that's all right. So why don't you learn the self? This is free. It's because you're free. But remember, the human life is moving, your life is always moving where? At the moment, in a moment. Okay? In a moment, there are many beings coexist simultaneously, regardless of whether you like or not. That means you should totally accept all beings. Okay? All beings. Nevertheless, you can't go back to the past. You have to go forward. Okay? In order to move forward, you can have a privilege to make a choice. Okay? To make a choice what to do. For this, okay? Broadly speaking, under all circumstances, whatever kind of occupation you have, whatever you do, do your best to take care of life. Accepting all beings totally. Okay? And then, problem is, there is a future. Okay? For the future, anyway, you have to make a choice of what to do, even though you don't like. This is life. So when you try to make a choice of your life, okay, then at that time you can find how weak human beings are. You see, so even though, okay, to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self. Fine. So let's go. If you don't like Buddhism, fine. If you don't like Christianity, fine. If you don't like Karagi, fine. Wherever you may go, do your best. How can you do your best? Do your best is to make a choice of your life from moment to moment. That's what you want. Make it to your best. Anyway, do your best is determination. You have to make a choice. Moment to moment, you have to do your best. But that's good. The more your life is sincere, or humble, or modest, or say compassionate, the more you realize the weak point which you are being possessed. At that time, it's very difficult. Do your best by yourself. So finally, we have to have something you can depend on, okay? That is a teaching mentioned by Jesus Christ, mentioned by Buddha Shakyamuni, mentioned by Dogen, taught by great persons who existed in the past, okay? Temporarily, why don't you open your mind to listen to depend on teachings? Well, later, anyway, I will explain this. Dogen's point is always focusing on actual practice, okay? Actual practice. You have a system of entering into Buddhist world, in other words, human world. First, teaching. Second, practice. Third, result, which is called realization, okay? So according to common sense, we take one by one from the top. Teaching, practice, and realization. The teaching means you should believe in teaching first, okay? Then understand teaching, okay, that is a teaching. And then after understanding of belief, in teaching, then you can get into practice. So you can practice. And then after practice, you can take one step into gate of realization, result. Then you understand, this is human life. But Dogen's way is, Dogen Zenji's way is a little different. Okay. First, he really focuses on actual practice, Anyway, this is very good for us because wherever you are, even though you don't understand human life or you understand human life, it doesn't matter. Because you are human being is, okay? You are fact, which no one will contaminate. No one interact. This is your life. This is individual life. So this is a fact and the reality of your life. If so, your life is wonderful, beyond human speculation. So your life is great being, you can really take care of. That's why Dogen Zenji says, to learn the Buddhism is to learn the self. So from this point, the complete beyond a certain situation, whether you understand the teaching or whether you can believe in something or not, still there is a fact you are entitled to live as a human being. What is a human being? Human being is a great being who can help all sentient beings. This is a great being. This is individual life. Okay. For them, live. The truth today is just today. For what? For you? No. For all beings. This is really actual practice. Actual practice. Day by day, anyway, you can live. And then through this actual practice of living, you can learn something. And then teaching comes out from actual practice. Okay? Teaching really comes out from actual practice. But we understand that teaching comes first. And then teaching brings the practice to you. But that is opposite, because that way is very limited. Because if you don't understand the teachings, you can't practice. You can't live in this world. If you don't understand human life, how can you live in this world? But no matter how many years you live in this world as a human being, how much do you understand human beings? We don't know. We know little, just a little bit. Even though you live for 50 years or 100 years, it's really just a speck of dust, we understand. So from this point, teaching is really coming from the actual practice, okay? If you try to understand the belief in the teaching first, and then practice comes after, that is real hard. So that's why Dogen Zenji always focus on actual practice, and then teaching comes up from this actual practice. But still teaching is there. That teaching is not you should understand, you should believe in, but teaching is that it is really a mirror for you. Just a mirror for you. Because I told you before, human beings are pretty weak, in a sense. In a sense, human beings are strong, creating, you know, civilizations, modern civilizations, technologies, and very strong, powerful. But on the other hand, if you show the more strongly you show how strong human beings, the more you realize how weak human beings. Look at the modern civilization. And it's really true. Don't you feel so? I feel so. We are happy, really happy using the modern civilization. We should really appreciate. But on the other hand, how struggle we are, how much, how weak we are, still human sufferings arise. Don't you think so? So, without the teaching, it's very difficult to live, to act, to have actual practice. That's why teaching is important, but teaching is constantly a mirror for you. It's really mirror for you. What you can depend on, what you can awaken to you, awaken who you are, where you are. This is a teaching. So for a certain period of time, anywhere we can depend on. And then from it, also realization comes from anyway, practice, actual practice. So Dogen Zen says, after becoming Buddha, enlightenment, nirvana exists. Well, yes, it is. Nirvana, enlightenment, doesn't exist if you don't do anything. No matter how long you discuss about nirvana, happiness, or enlightenment, well, it's there, but it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't penetrate your life. So regardless of whether you understand or not, live. Live with your best. This is actual practice. And very naturally, realization comes out very naturally from actual practice. Don't you think so? That realization is not enlightenment. Realization is, for instance, you say, ah, this is Karagiri. Yes. Ah, this is. At that time, I can't say anything about Karagiri. Well, if I say something, well, I can pick up a part of Karagiri, and that the whole as a whole, you know, I can pick up. At that time, there is always something stinky. Well, stinky is not bad always. Good stinky. sometimes really stinky. So, that is realization. Okay? Realization. It's really realization. Realization. So, not enlightenment. Just when you become human life, okay? Exactly, you say, just a sound. Ah, okay. Well, read a poem. Little K always used as just a sound. Rose, oak, okay? If you see the beautiful scenery, which is really perfect at that time, you can't say how beautiful it is. Just you stand up from the rain form of a beautiful scene and just this is realization. realization. But this realization is constantly there if you have actual practice, okay? With wholeheartedness, very naturally. But you don't because you have already a certain karma. Karma means customs and habits you have accumulated from the beginning of class. That's why it's very difficult to understand this. But even though you don't understand, realization is always with you, okay? With you. Anyway, through this you can learn. You can learn what human life is, what the pain is, what the suffering is, what the zazen is. Well, right in the middle of actual practice. So, those three is always connected, but if you really emphasize what of those three are important, well, actual practice is important. And then they naturally faith come up, and they're not. Well, it's very difficult which of those three comes first. But if you analyze, if you experience the human life, well, we can analyze in that way. But in your daily life, simultaneously, okay? Actual practice is simultaneously faith, okay? And understanding, okay? Understanding. So understanding is not to think something in your head, okay? Yes, I understand Buddhas, I understand Zazen, but that is not understanding. If you understand Zazen, well, just do it. Well, understanding is simultaneously actual practice, okay? So, the faith and understanding should be backed by practice and realization. And same apply to practice and also realization. Okay? That is a Dogen's standpoint. So, this time that it's a too long introduction. I'd like to talk about karma. Okay, so Dogen's understanding. Briefly, there are three points. One point is continuation of karma. That's the first point. The second is a great source of energy, which is called emptiness. That is a karma. Third, Buddhist karma. Karma is Buddhist karma. Buddhist karma should be understood from what I mentioned already, from the three points, teaching and practice, actual practice and realization. And then if you really focus on actual practice from which teaching comes and realization comes simultaneously, that time that karma becomes Buddhist karma. Buddhist karma. Buddhist karma is not something particular. That Buddhist karma is a karma which is completely transparent. Transparent. If you see the karma or, for instance, crystal, okay? Crystal. If you see the crystal, you know, this is a beautiful you can see the bottom of it. Water, water is beautiful. The air for pure water is very quality, really penetrates the bottom of the river. That is Buddhist karma, complete beauty of karma. If your karma becomes transparent, whatever you do, wherever you may be, if you can't see that your life as karma, anyway, it becomes Buddhist karma, helping your life. A great source of energy is really, according to the Buddhist teaching, that is emptiness. And according to Diamond Sutra, that is no abode. No abode. From where does karma come? No abode. No root of abide. Where the karma depends on. That is emptiness. Plainly speaking, that is nothing but dynamic function of energy. That is calm. The first one is continuation of karma is that which one, each of us individually, inherits since beginning of past. Okay. It's karma. I told you karma is, according to 12 chains causation, karma is a samskara and bhava. Bhava is existence. Samskara is, it's very difficult to translate, but this is the first stage of human movement. The first stage of human movement. But this first stage of human movement is really connected with avijja, the ignorance. Okay, ignorance. I told you already the ignorance is a state of the being of which one try to understand what the truth is but cannot understand it. Nevertheless, one is present constantly in the truth. That is Can you see what it means? Okay, ignorance. Ignorance is not bad, okay? But it's not good. It's not good. Well, it's not neutral. It's already something that is there. Okay? You don't know why, but anyway, if you see, anyway, something there, right now, right here, well, through our wisdom, okay? Temporarily, we say, ignorance, okay? Ignorance. But ignorance, that is really state of the being which one simply cannot pin down what the truth is. Although, one is constantly present in the truth. Okay. Let's understand it through your daily life. You can understand this. That is what is called, anyway, the avijja. Avijja is not karma. Avijja is a pleasure. Pleasure is delusion. Klesha is a K-L-E-S-A, Klesha. question is the delusion or affliction of pain. So the state of being, how one is affected with the state of being, okay? Because we want to know, but we can't, we simply can't. We are very doomed not to understand, pin down what the truth is, but nevertheless, we are there. That is really affliction, isn't it? Affliction. But point of question is, why is it that we are already in such a situation? That time, no answer. No answer. If I say something about this, only one thing we can say. Because we have done so for many, many years. That's why we are right in the middle of such a situation. This is not the understanding. This is something you have to get taste of it through your life. Through your life. It's great. And if you get taste of that, such a situation of human life, life becomes predict, extending to the past, the beginningless past, and the limitless future in the connected, it's really extending. That is very good because it really makes your life very modest, humble, or what to say, respect. If you see your life pretty deep, extending to the beginningless past, endless future, you cannot judge your life anyway, right now or here. And also you cannot be crazy about getting something right now or here, right after doing something, okay? Well, right after practice something, okay? And then you try to grasp this. Well, that is not practice. Well, the practice is really, I always tell the practice is just like a turtle, just like a cow. That's why modern people don't like it, you know. But nothing to do more than this. Is there any way to do better way? If you find good. So people try to find a better way, but which is called busy, okay? Mm-hmm. Business, but it's not best way. Best way, final best way is anyway. All you have to do is just a cow and a turtle. But turtle is not slow. It's slow, but it's best way to live in the fastest way. You know the children's story, race. It is turtle and rabbit in ways. It's really a human life. So, if you want to practice anywhere first, please be turtle. Okay. Then you can find what the real practice is. Okay? But if you really think the practice, you know, kind of a sweet candy you can get, what, or you can get the happy or whatever, that is not practice. In such a practice, often there is up and down, waves, big waves, waves, lots of waves of up and downs. Okay. So if you become anywhere tall and calm, it's really slow, but it's slow, it's very fastest way, shortest way, okay? Shortcut. It's really shortcut. But you don't believe. That's why I have to experience a calmer and the Buddha's calm. They don't really mention these things. So I would like to talk about this point, you know, later. But anyway, this is, that's why in the first point of karma, according to Dogen, karma is really continuation of karma from the beginning of the past. And also, it is yours, okay? No one else, okay? It's really yours, okay? As property, as asset, okay? It's yours. That is really not the, don't misunderstand this. If you misunderstand this, that such a karma makes you pessimistic, nihilistic, or fatalism. I don't think this is. Okay? That is really looking at the human life in a broad perspective. And really make your life humble and modest and compassionate. Otherwise, there is no other way but to be compassionate. Okay? So very naturally, the teaching comes up from human beings. Okay? It is not the characteristic of Buddhism. It is not the characteristic of Eastern people. It is really human characteristic of human beings. Even though Western people don't talk about karma, it doesn't matter. It's really a characteristic of human beings. Dogen's Zenji's are very straightforward, accepting the, what say, I don't know, the, shall I say, authority? Well, I don't know the words exactly, but anyway, Dogen Zenji is very straightforward to accept patriarchs and rulers, okay? Very straightforward. Because this is very true. Not only the Dogen Zenji, all of you must be anyway straightforward, anyway to all beings. That's why Dogen says when all dharmas are Buddha's dharmas, there are ordinary people and Buddhas, enlightenment, diligence, and all beings exist. Okay. But this is reality, complete beyond the like or dislike. So, what is the reality? Reality is a great cosmic universe, okay, where all sentient beings coexist completely. So you have to do something anywhere with all sentient beings, okay, anywhere, whatever you do. So you can't ignore the morality and constitutions and trees, birds and pebbles and even the dung of the cows, and you can't ignore this. All things are exist. All things exist simultaneously. So we should straightforward. We should be straightforward to all sentient beings. That's why Dogen accept. Say straightforwardly the patriarchs and Buddha's ways. And so on karma, he really explains the on karma as continuation as inherence, okay, inherence. Dogen explained three points. One is retribution experienced in one's present life. Second, retribution experienced in one's next life. And third, retribution experienced in, life after next life. Do you understand? No. Well, he says, retribution experienced in subsequent life. So that is life after next life anyway. That means continuation of life. And also Dogen accept this very naturally, straightforwardly. But this is not Dogen's way, Dogen Zen's way, but this is already the Buddha's way. Dogen Zen doesn't explain logically why we should have this teaching. But he quoted very simple story from Abhidhamma Shastra is one of the oldest Buddhist scriptures. So let me read, okay? For example, this is a very simple story. Because karma is inheritance. One's inheritance is not something you try to understand, but it's something you should get taste of it through your actual practice. Okay. It's a very simple story, so let me read. There once lived a woodcutter. One day, when he was in the mountains, a heavy snow fell and he lost his way. As twilight approached, the snow lay even deeper, and it became colder and colder. Just as the woodcutter was about to freeze to death, he stumbled into a dense thicket and came upon a bear that was living there. The bear's fur was dark blue in color, and upon seeing how frightened the woodcutter was, consoled him, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I, unlike some parents who harbor ill feelings toward their children, wish you no harm." Having said this, the bear approached the woodcutter and, picking him up, carried him to a nearby cave. Once inside, it warmed him with its body and restored his spirits, bringing him various kinds of roots and nuts to eat. Furthermore, fearing that the woodcutter would be unable to digest this food, it continued day and night to warm him with its body and look after his other needs for the next
6 days. On the 7th day, the weather cleared and the woodcutter decided it was time to try to make his way back home. The bear, knowing of his feelings, once more prepared a dinner for him of numerous sweet nuts, then accompanied him to the edge of the thicket, where it bade him a polite farewell. The woodcutter, for his part, fell down on his knees in gratitude, saying, "How can I ever repay you for your kindness?" The bear answered, "I ask for nothing in return other than that you protect my life, as I have protected yours." Respectfully agreeing to do so, the woodcutter picked up the firewood he had previously cut and left the mountain. As he neared home, the woodcutter happened to meet two hunters, one of whom asked him if he had seen any wild animals in the mountains. He replied, "Apart from one bear, I didn't see any wild animals." Hearing this, the hunters asked him if he would show them where the bear was. The woodcutter agreed to do so on the condition that they give him 2/3 of the bear's body in return, and it was not long before the bear had been killed and its flesh divided into 3 parts. When the woodcutter reached out with both hands to pick up his promised flesh, however, his bad karma caused both his arms to fall off, just as if a string of pearls had suddenly broken or the root of a lotus flower had been cut. The hunters, seeing this, were both surprised and frightened, and they asked the woodcutter for an explanation. Deeply ashamed of what he had done, he gave them a detailed account of the whole story. The two said to him reproachfully, "How is it possible that you are able to perpetrate such a treacherous crime against this bear when you are so deeply indebted to it? It's a wonder your whole body doesn't rot away." Having said this, they took the flesh to a nearby temple and offered it to the community of monks. One of the senior monks in the temple, who was endowed with penetrating wisdom, entered into samadhi in order to see whose flesh it was. Seeing that it was actually the flesh of a great bodhisattva who had bestowed abundant benefits and happiness on all beings, he immediately came out of the samadhi and informed the other monks of its true nature. The other monks were quite surprised by the revelation, and they decided to cremate
the fresh with incense wood. With this, when this has been done, they further built a stupa for the bears, bones, and respectfully venerated them. As this story shows, but karma never fails, sooner or later, to produce its result. This is a story, okay? It's not something you should understand. You don't understand this. But this is something you can feel. You can get taste. Do you think so? In the human world, such a thing happens so often. So, and also what I want to explain is a little bit here, a little bit about one thing in this story. It says, seeing that it was actually the flesh of the great Bodhisattva who had bestowed abundant benefits and happiness on all beings, he immediately came out of the samadhi and informed itself. Okay, the monks realizes that the flesh of a great Bodhisattva, that bear used to be a Bodhisattva. And this Bodhisattva, he had abandoned, okay, his benefit and happiness for all beings. This is the point that I have to say a little bit, because it is connected with teaching. I told you before, karma has two kinds of karma. One is manifested karma, the other one is unmanifested karma. in the ancient time when the Buddha was alive, the karma was used in simple way, very simple way, but it had lots of meaning. For instance, in the Suttanipada, the Buddha said, birth neither Brahmin nor non-Brahmin makes the one's life and conduct molds the Brahmin true. The other words, and then this is number 650 verse of Suttanipada, and next is 6651, 6652. He explains what karma is, at that time, in the ancient time, you remember that people were evaluated by their birth. If you were born of a noble family, well, forever you can be a noble person. If you were born of, you know, the farmer families, you are completely farmer. You'll never be, anyway, noble person or soldiers, they said, priest, they said. Okay. That is the caste system in India. But Buddha was a little bit against this system. So that's why Buddha says, birth neither Brahmin, neither priest. Okay? Birth neither priest nor non-priest makes. You cannot be evaluated as a priest. Priest cannot be evaluated by
your birth.
Do you understand? Your birth.
If you are born of the priest family, you are a priest.
I don't think so.
So, Brahmin truth. So, if you act as a priest at that time, you act priest. So that's why that is a karma. It's called karma. Very simple karma. Simple meaning of the karma. But if you act in that way, you are a certain person. You become a certain person. If you steal something, you are robber. Robbery. Is that it? So, in this meaning of karma, there are two things: cause, effect, coexist
simultaneously. Coexist simultaneously.
So karma is a sort of a result, and simultaneously karma is a sort of a cause. But the sutra doesn't explain in that way, just a simple way. But with the development of Buddhism, the karma has been very popularized. Okay? Very popularized. Everyone used karma. But just actions. Just as actions. That's why certain terms popularized in human life, sometimes it is misunderstood. So very naturally, in the process of developing the Buddhism from the ancient time to what Abhidhamma Kosha, Abhidhamma Shastra means the Buddhist psychology. Defining each term and defining each term of a consciousness, etc. Anyway, analyze it, synthesize it, try to understand whatever terms the Buddha used as clear as possible. That is Abhidhamma Shastra. Very complicated, huge. It takes more than eight years to understand. But this is our first, the assignment for Buddhist students. If you want to be, anyway, Buddhist priest, etc., you have to learn first. It's like, that's why it made me a headache. It's really complicated. But I had to start there. So I did. I forgot now. Then naturally, in Abhidhamma Kosha, Abhidhamma Shastra, the karma is analyzed, divided into two. One is manifested karma, the other one is unmanifested karma. Unmanifested karma is the sort of impression left behind your doing. Some impression you don't know. Impression which doesn't appear on the surface, but it's always with us. Complete beyond the category of the moral sense, good or bad or neutral. In Buddhism, moral sense is divided into three: good, evil, and also neutral. Neutral is a complete, something more than good or bad, right or wrong. Okay? Well, for instance, if you study the sports and art and calligraphy and archery, whatever you do, but constantly you have to practice, okay? Painting constantly. And also you have to always move your hands and the legs and if you want to be dancer, etc., constantly you do. But this is completely beyond the Guru Bhakti, which mountains, you know? So this is a sort of neutral. But this is very important because it is still a portion of the kind of class. So it is very important. But the manifested karma is impression or perfume, sort of an impression or a sort of a perfume. Left remains in your body and mind somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it is constantly remaining with you without defining it according to a certain moral sense. Okay? This is completely neutral. But it comes up because it comes up on the surface of human life because it is still a portion of karmic life, samsara world. How it comes up? When time is right, conditions arranged perfectly, it comes up. That's all. This is unmanifested karma. And also, this unmanifested karma creates a lot of a Buddhist term. Okay? Buddhist term. With the more the Buddhist, the with the development of Buddhism. Okay? Another term is virtuous quality. Virtuous quality is you have carried the something good root seeds from anyway being past. Okay? Virtuous quality. This good is complete beyond the good, but right wrong anyway, supreme good. For instance, if you see somebody's, since you experience like this, if you see somebody, so you feel great, you know, you feel great, you feel relaxed, you feel wonderful, you feel peaceful. Just by him, by her, even though whatever he or she does, or whatever occupation he or she has, but as a whole, anyway, you feel peaceful. So from where that peaceful feeling, peaceful quality comes, it's not something from his education, which he or she has accumulated after his birth. I don't know. But completely beyond speculation, you can see or meet somebody in that way. Have you experienced it? How can I explain this? So we said that is anyway he has a soul for virtuous quality. He did in the past, maybe so. So that is anyway he did plant anyway good roots in the past anyway, and then pile up in his way. That is virtuous quality. The other term is echo echo is turning the mirror to all beings instead of holding on it by yourself. If you do something, okay? If you do something, if you practice Buddhist way, or if you help somebody, okay? And then at that time, of course, according to the causation, teaching of causation, you can have cause and effect. So you can have a merit from the help as a cause. But at that time, you don't grasp it. You let go of it to give it to all beings. In other words, not touch to that merit. That's why just do it. And then at that time, this practice is what is called good roots you can plant for the future. That is what is called virtuous quality. The virtuous quality is obviously you do something and then you can have unmanifested karma. But this is, anyway, completely beyond Guru Bhatt's right wrong. But anyway, you do something good and have a manifested karma. Then, how? You may do something good, but merit should be turned, given to somebody. That is virtuous quality. Okay? Or in Zen, Buddhism, particular Dogen then says, when the term says, to learn that one withdraws one step, and turns the light inwards on oneself. Do you understand? To learn that one withdraws one step, and turn the light inwards on oneself. To withdraw one step doesn't mean to escape from something. Okay. To withdraw means not touch what you have done to what you have done. Okay. Withdraw means aware what you have done. Aware what you have done. Whatever good or bad, anyway, don't touch. Don't be crazy about what you have done. But it doesn't mean you should ignore it. Okay? But anyway, you should awaken to what you have done. That is to withdraw one step. Okay? And then, if you do something good, anyway, withdraw one step and turns. Light means merit. Okay? Merit. Inwards. Inwards means wisdom. Wisdom. On oneself means oneself and another, okay, all beings. So anyway, share light means merit. Give merit or light coming from what you have done to everybody. That means to learn that one withdraws one step and turns light inwards on oneself. In the age monastery, in the entrance of the study room, we hand scroll there, says to learn withdraw one step and turn the light inward on one side. This is the attitude towards study of studying the Buddha way. That means constantly picture of unmanifested karma
you have done.
Because manifested karma is a being which is appears and disappears constantly. If you really depend on this karma, well, your life is really decadent. Because moment after moment, it appears, disappears. But you can understand your life exactly right now or here, which doesn't connect it with yesterday and tomorrow. You cannot understand in that way. You shouldn't understand life in that way. Anyway, life connected yesterday and tomorrow and future, anyway. It's really true. How can the life continue like this? So finally, something is there. This is called unmanifested karma. So very naturally, you can see your life in turn, not only in terms of manifested karma, but also unmanifested karma by what manifested karma is backed by. So very naturally, you can see your life extending to begin with past and end with future. Very natural. This is called echo or virtuous quality, or learn that one withdraws one step and turns light in words on oneself. Very naturally, that means that you can learn humility and modesty, compassion towards oneself and another. Very natural. That's why he says that flesh is a great bodhisattva who has bestowed abundant benefits and happiness for all beings. And also Dogen's Zenji comments to this, saying, as it shows, we should always aspire to reward those to whom we are indebted. At the same time, however, we shouldn't seek any reward from those who are indebted to us. It is exactly the same as I have mentioned. it is really reality, whatever happens. For instance, Christopher Sieg was murdered, you remember, in San Francisco. Of course, we understand how sad his parents were. Nothing to explain about this reality. Nothing to say. So, question is not that we should focus on, well, so to say, being killed by somebody else. If you always focus on the problem of being killed by somebody, that time you focus on criticism to victims and also martyrs. Marvelous.
But that is not the our business. But that is
business of the
business of constitution and laws and affairs. But our business is religious. Religious means, anyway, understanding a certain situation in deep way, anyway. If you understand the reality, the fact which Christmas thief was killed, we cannot criticize him because he had done something wrong in the past, and you say he should pay back his debt that he had in the past. But this is just a part of understanding. It's not real understanding. On the other hand, we should understand anyway. His death, anyway, paying back his debt and simultaneously teaching something more deeply about death, about human reality through his death. No way. For instance, there is a event. Somebody died all of a sudden by the collapsing of the bridge. You know that event. Exactly the same. Someone survived on the edge, right on the edge of the broken bridge. How can I explain this? We can't explain. But we can't ignore this, because Christopher Thief was in parents' hearts and in our hearts. So in order to keep his life in our hearts, anyway, we have to understand his life not according to his manifested karma, but according to unmanifested karma too. But very deeply we should understand. So his death really teaches us what is reality of life. It's pretty deep. Something more than human speculation. That's why it is. Reality is, of course, something, a sort of a samsaric world, but simultaneously samsaric world teaches us Buddha's reality, because reality is pretty deep, pretty profound. That is Buddha's reality. So death teaches us in that way. If you understand that his death in that way, well, we can accept his death, not ignoring, not completely, well, confused, but constantly being compassionate to his death and to his parents and help. And learn something, human life in the future, according to his death itself. At that time, his death is obvious, his life is obvious we have. That's why Dogen Den says also, because all beings are anyway benefiting of the not only bear's life here in this story, helps woodcutter. All beings anyway benefit all beings are sinned.
So there is no reason we should hurt anything.
We should take just care of all sentient beings with wholeheartedness. That is our effort, our practice.
Having compassion,
sharing our compassion with all sentient beings. This is one of three retribution experienced in the retribution of a karma, one's karma. What is called retribution experience in the one's present life. But if you want to know more, you can read this book, the Sanji Go, Karma in Three Times. The karmic retribution in the three stages of time, past, present, future, in this book, Dogen Zenpa. It's a very simple story here.